Go again to your Pew Bible, page 955, and we're going to be back in Philippians. Now, last week, it was particularly important to be in your Pew Bible in Philippians because the sermon was built around the image on the page here, on page 954 of Philippians 2. The point I was trying to make was that it's a poem surrounded by a frame of prose, and we looked at the prose that brought us into the poem and then the prose that brought us out of it. Today, first of all, one thing I want to point out is Philippians, if you flip the page in either direction, you get the entirety of Philippians. It's a very short letter, but it's absolutely packed with beautiful things. Last week I presented the poem. This week is one of Paul's great expressions that he's very famous for. But in this case, I think the lectionary cut us off too short. I think to understand what Paul is after, it's important to hear both the run-up to the passage that we heard Jim read and then go a few verses beyond it. What Jim read ends in verse 14, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." But then Paul continues, "Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained." And I'm really intrigued by that, because Paul talks about forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, but then also at the same time holding fast. So what are we to forget? And to what do we hold fast, I wonder? So let's see the entirety of Paul's message here and see if we can figure out a little bit what's going on. The passage begins, for me anyway, in verse 1b. "To write the same things to you is not troublesome to me, and for you it is a safeguard. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." All right, this is a very self-revealing passage of Paul, and it's also classic him. One thing to know is that when it talks about the mutilators of the flesh, these are the people who are following Paul after Paul has started churches and said, "Paul has it wrong. If you want to be a Christian, you need to be circumcised." That's why he calls them the mutilators of the flesh. So Paul is coming back hard against these fake teachers, saying, "No, you don't, and I'm in a great position to say it because I was a perfect Jew before I became a Christian. So don't listen to them. Instead, listen to me." So you can hear the passion in Paul's voice here. Exclamation points are well deserved in this passage. In the next passage, he then doubles down. He writes, "Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead." All right, again, absolutely classic Paul. I'm reminded of the beginning of the first letter to the Corinthians where he says, "I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified." For me, this is a winsome simplicity. Paul, at the end of the day, is simple for all of his complicated musings in all of his letters. He's utterly focused on Jesus and what Jesus has done for him and for the whole world. I'm reminded of, I often refer to Gordon Cosby, one of the guys who just changed my life when I visited Church of the Savior back in 2002. And he talked about needing to enter into a kind of simplicity where it's just about Jesus, and we make a decision to focus on Jesus and go deep sea diving in that mystery, and that's it. Paul is our leader here. He's utterly focused on Jesus and wants to set aside all other things. So, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, he concludes that passage. And then we get the striving Paul. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. So Paul can be so bold and assertive and clear that he seems boastful at times. And yet, in passages like this, he pulls back and says, but I don't have it all yet. I am still learning. I am still growing. I am still striving myself. But with gladness and singleness of heart, he pursues his goal. And then the passage comes with the three different stances that I find puzzling. I want to enter into it myself, but I want to understand it better. He writes, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who then are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. So, forgetting what lies behind. You know, I think I get what that means, that don't let the past sort of drag you down. One of the more winsome things that President George W. Bush said was when he was being attacked for his youthful indiscretions, he said simply, "When I was young and stupid, I was young and stupid." And I feel like I could say the same thing. There are things that it would do well for me to forget. So I get that. And given the simplicity that Paul is inviting us into, the straining forward more and more into the mystery of Jesus, the deep sea diving in his mystery, I get that too. But then I wonder, what is it that Paul holds fast to that he has attained and that the church in Philippi has attained and that we, as Christians also, what have we attained that we are to hold on to as we strive more deeply in Jesus? Jesus himself, faith, hope, love, forgiveness, mercy, all these things. But I suppose one more thing too, and that is wisdom. The ancient understanding of virtue is that one of the four cardinal virtues, along with justice, temperance, and courage, is prudence, which is the ability to understand what to keep and what to let go of. And so I pray for, even as I struggle with these words of what am I to forget, how am I to strain forward, the wisdom to know also what to hold fast to never let go of, as I, by God's grace, following Paul, strive to dive ever more deeply into the mystery of Jesus. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.